star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol. Well, you'll know me when you see me, cause my door painted white, with my siren is screaming and my flashing red light.
Yes, it is that time once again. It is Safety Talk with Highway Patrol in studio. Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPS is here to answer your question about being on the highways, byways, roadways, backways, frontways, sideways. We hope you're driving right ways here on KWHI. Questions? Feel free to call them in, 979-836-9937. Or you can email them to, and I'll check my email periodically here at mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com this morning. And we'll get those answers for you to the best of our ability. And as always, we thank Corporal Morgan for coming in studio out of your busy schedule and talking to us, because it's good. It's very informative. We learn at least one thing every day that you're here.
What's that?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to find out. Yeah,
one thing we're going to learn today.
Yeah.
At least one thing. I hope today.
Man, I hope I don't let you down.
This be the day to do it.
Well, weather?
Yeah. It's bad.
Is this spring break here?
Next week.
Next week.
Next
okay.
week. Next week, spring break.
Yeah. Yeah, spring break, weathers.
I know you guys have had a pretty rough go of it over in your area.
I was in Lubbock last week, and I'm going to tell you it was pretty bad in Lubbock.
Is it really?
When I was up there, it was. Mm-hmm. So I imagine it's thawed out by now. But
you're talking about the cold?
Yeah.
It was ice?
Ice, you name it.
We didn't get none of that.
See, yeah. Well,
and then one day, your air up in Bryan, they had.
I don't like driving on that stuff either. So.
Well, we don't drive on it. We don't know how to drive on it. You get it once every couple of years. I mean,
I tell people we don't do good on dry roads, more or less icy roads.
Yeah, it's not like you can practice on driving on ice anywhere.
Right. Well, it's spring break for some college kids out there, and my son. I didn't realize my son was on spring break this week, and so
good job, Dad.
You know how kids are. They call you when they need work.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's when they call.
Hey, my funds are getting low.
So, it's a busy time of year, and, I think everybody is waiting for the sun to come out.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
And I really think, when I talk to people about driving things and how many different things affect us as drivers, and our attitudes behind the wheel has a lot to do the way we drive, and I think weather sometimes over a period of time you get frustrated, mm-hmm. right? So I think it carries over behind the wheel.
It's dreary and gloomy, and it's
you're
just,
not in a very good mood all before the day even starts.
That's
out,
it. So I can understand that.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for the sunshine and things warm up and get people and. Good moods. People want to get outside and do things instead of staying inside all the time.
That's it. And I know, with all the rain that we've had, that the blue bonnets are going to just be everywhere.
Yes.
Going up before long.
Yeah, that'll be a subject of conversation mm-hmm. when they start coming out. Things to do, not do, and all that good stuff mm-hmm. When you're out taking the picture. Because everybody's got to take a picture, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you've got a girl, you're going to take a picture.
I'm telling you
right now.
And they'll fill out roadways and size the roads here before long with vehicles trying to do that.
Well, a couple of things why I sit here and wait on your listeners to educate me today or test my brain knowledge here. A couple of things out there that I'm going to talk about. Certainly, we already mentioned spring break. I want to visit a little bit today about the 8 weeks academy that our department's offering to law enforcement officers with 2 years experience and more. I think we had a caller here the last time I was here and visiting with us a little bit about, watching or seeing, observing a police officer, say, over the speed limit for whatever. And I had referenced that there, in the transportation code, there's some things that allows law enforcement or medical responders to do certain things. And so I was going to go over that a little bit today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a friend of mine that's a trooper up there in Lufkin, and we were talking about this, Kate, this third brake light, you know, that's come out on vehicles. And some people, and I get asked every now and then about the third brake light. You know, if you've got raw or any cars you want, does the one on the cab have to work and all that good stuff? And I said, you know, I'd got a call last week just on that same thing. So I'm going to go over to the third brake light today. And certainly if there's any other equipment laws, safety chains, or how's the one sticker program going?
I mean, I was going to ask you about that.
I'd be interested from your listeners, any questions on that or any other things I can help out that. I had got one for my wife's vehicle before I left to go to Lubbock, and it was the same sticker. So they hadn't changed. You know,
sticker?
Yeah, I thought maybe one sticker program, they'll do something a little different, you know, just in case. Again, some of this I thought was like to counterfeit stickers and stuff like that. So, but as far as I know, it's the same registration sticker that we had before. And certainly there's a lot of scenarios out there on registration inspection. And and I'd be more happy to answer them. And, you know, with a little help, if I'm not around, you can go to the DMV website and put on the calculator, and you can add your month of your inspection and registration, and it should kind of guide you what you need to do in that situation. But so that's kind of what I had planned.
Well, as law enforcement officer, is it a little bit different? You're seeing these vehicles that only have the one sticker. Is it a little different seeing that?
You know, a guy like me that's been on for 26 years that is from day one of his career has always enforced the expired MVI certificate. And just to see that repealed March 1st, you got to retrain your brain.
Yeah.
Hey, leave that alone. I mean, you know, so, yeah, it's a little different. And, I've kind of through the grapevine, I've heard some stories, and this is what I was afraid of. Not so much are motors confused, but I think there's some law enforcement officers out there that don't pay attention and listen up what I'm trying to tell them. Is that, you know, they've done away with the display expired MVI certificate. That section has gone away and repealed. So this year, 2015, starting March up through, the end of February of 2016, that's going to be a transparent transition period where, you know, we're going to allow everybody to get on this 90-day compliance and all that. So basically, I just tell law enforcement, just leave them alone. Because, you know, it's just something until we get this year over with, there's going to be some things. So main thing now is that I tell people that just if you got a sticker and it goes out, you need to kind of look where that registration sticker is. And then we've got to get you back in this within 90-day period. So, like I say, there's a different lot of scenarios out there, and I've been asked several different formulas way and all that, but it's hard to go over them unless you just give me a specific situation this morning. Then I would answer that right there. But I think when it's all said and done, what it's going to amount to, you're going to walk in the registration office, and they're gonna, you know, after the year's over with, they're gonna know whether you have insurance. If not, you're gonna have to have a copy of that. Show them that should be in their system, and they're gonna know whether that car's been inspected or not. So, a lot of the, and if it's not, then you're not gonna get your vehicle registered. That's basically what it's gonna come down to.
So simple as that. There you go.
So.
Okay, and if you have questions or if you have something happened to you, let us know. We'd like to hear about something. If you got something happened with your registration and inspection stickers on the roadways,
right? And
this morning 979-836-9937 or email us mail mail at kwhi.com today.
So what's happened? I've been visiting in the past about what our agency's been doing, especially with the border and stuff down there. And so our department's in the process right now of accepting applications up through March 25th and a testing deadline of March 31st for an eight-week school, a DPS academy for law enforcement officers with at least 2 years of experience on patrolling experience. And we're going to shorten that school that's normally somewhere around 21 to 26 weeks down to an eight-week school for that certain officer. And they will be stationed along somewhere around the south border down there for I know it's for at least a year, mm-hmm. but if not longer. And so we're offering that right now to existing law enforcement officers.
Okay. And we got a phone call here this morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question for us this morning?
Yes, sir. I was calling to see I drive 18-wheeler, and I got stopped by a county cop out on Highway 237 going to LaGrange. And, well, he stopped me, and there was no safe place to park or get off the road because from, you know, LaGrange, going to LaGrange and Brenham, it's like a foot and a half shoulder. What do I have the legal right to, you know, at least slow down to a safe, slow distance and try to find a safe place to pull over, or what should I do?
Well, you know, I answered this on the stand one time, but you know, when law enforcement, when we're out patrolling and we're out enforcing traffic laws, when we're doing that, but we have to do it in a manner where we. You know, sometimes some people say, well, he followed me for a good while before he actually pulled me over. Well, there's a couple things could have been going on. One, he could have been running your registration, some other things. Number two is he could be waiting for a safer spot to actually get you pulled over. So sometimes when law enforcement do make a traffic stop, they have to kind of look at their surroundings. And do you have a shoulder or do you not have a shoulder, especially if you got a big truck like this gentleman's got here. So certainly it's consideration on law enforcement. And, you know, with the rain and stuff that we've had now, we won't want to pull you over where you move off the road and you get stuck and or you even turn your load over. So, you know, obviously the officer has a duty on his part to kind of keep reminding himself where they actually stop people. And then if, you know, sometimes when people like truckers and stuff like that, they also, we got to understand that they, especially if they turn the blinker on, they realize, then that's kind of pretty much telling us they know we're behind them and we're going to allow that extra distance, to go up and, slowly, pull off the side of the road in a safe spot. So I think there's a combination of both there.
Well, I just got stopped, and, you know, there was nowhere for me to pull over, but I was driving, like, 35 miles an hour, you know, and I had the flashes on, and I had my hand, at the window telling me to come on up, but once he finally, I stopped because he turned the siren on. I seen he had the lights on, but there was no safe place for me to get up.
I would have just activated my right blinker to let him know that you're giving him notice that you know he's behind you. And you're just trying to slow down and look for that safe spot to pull over, and that should be understandable. Should be fine.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for the phone call this morning. There you go, simple as that. 979-836-9937. You have a question or something that you want to know about? If you want to expand on a topic that we talked about this morning, give us a call here. Also, emails we're looking at mail@kwhi.com.
Just to finish up here on this academy, the academy that we're talking about is going to, obviously you have to be 21 years of age. Certainly, I would say right now, you know, for a 2-year experienced officer, he's probably going to be at least 23 because you can't carry a firearm unless you're 21. You got to have 2 years experience. So, it'd be hard for anybody at age 21 and to go to this particular school, but it's just something we're offering, and we're looking to hire some good applicants, and certainly we realize there's other good applicants that work for other departments. We're giving them a chance to maybe come look at us. I always tell people we're not the highest paid, but We certainly think we compete with other larger agencies throughout the state, and if they're interested in that, they could either call me or they could go on our website, and they can check us out on Join DPS, and they have this listed on our website where an officer that thinks he fits his criteria, they can get on and start filling that information out. So,
And you mentioned that they're going to be at the border. How are things going
Well, we're busy down there. I don't really get there's some feedback on that. I'm waiting. You know, it's a legislative year, so the total numbers that are. I saw something the other day, and I'm sure it's even changed by now, that somewhere 108 tons of narcotics that we've got down there. So we're busy. I don't have I'm waiting for that from this month to this month. We seize this month. Mm-hmm. I don't have that type of report year. I do know they're collecting data and stuff, obviously, or it's something this time of year when we're visiting with our legislators. We're trying to let them know as an agency what we're doing, because I'm sure they have the same question, that we're gathering that information and trying to kind of see where we're at with that. Mm-hmm. But, we continue to have a large presence down there, and I think it's making a difference. As far as number-wise, what does that mean? I'll just have to wait and see how they compile the numbers, see what that is. But the numbers, I'm just glancing at some of the numbers that are out there, it's we're doing quite well. I mean, if you want to gauge it that way. So I tell people, as far as our agency down there, we're in the criminal aspect of this thing. We're targeting trafficking people, smuggling people, as far as, forced labor, narcotics, money trafficking, weapons and stuff like that. We're on the criminal side of this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, on the immigration side of that, if we run in that person that's doing this and they're illegally over here, that's something we allow the Border Patrol or immigration to handle that part, most time handle that part of it. So we're not acting as immigration agents down there. We're down there for the criminal part of this. I watched a movie the other day, kind of similar to what I thought could actually happen is the cartel working with terrorists and crossing down there versus coming in our international airport. We got to understand that not just people from Mexico is crossing that border. We got people from all different countries crossing, and we certainly don't. We want to make sure we secure that border where we can limit the people over here that's trying to do harm to Americans. So that's our purpose of being down there.
Okay. We've got a couple of email questions coming in here.
Sure.
And we'll get those asked here. And a little screen turned off for you. You can actually read it here. It says, if you have a vehicle who has a safety inspection due in March of 2015,
right,
but the license tag is not due until October,
right,
2015, if they sell the vehicle, does it have to be inspected before the title can be transferred to the new owner?
Now, what's going to happen on that vehicle, it's March, so it's still good now. You can tear that March sticker off, and what they're going to want you to do to that vehicle or whoever has that vehicle in October, if they stick with that same month, they're going to want you 90 days prior to October. So they're going to let you take that March sticker off. You're going to get a few more months without that sticker. Then within 90 days up to the date that you register that car, they're going to want you to go get that car inspected, whoever that is, whether it's you mm-hmm. or you sell it to somebody. And if it keeps the same registration month and year, then that's what they'll want you to do in that situation there.
All right.
So they're going to get a few extra months on that.
Okay. Then we another one coming in here. Let's see. It's about headlights. This one says, all modern cars has the auto headlights, and we pay extra for this convenience, but yet so many do not use it. Often early mornings, like this morning, this says, with a little rain and I guess some fog in areas, heavy traffic while waiting for a safe place to pull out or make a left turn. Most have lights on, and you see a dark area, what appears to be ample space for a safe turn or pull out. And you make your move to find out a dark colored vehicle without lights about to take to run into you, basically. The highways are okay. They're saying that highways should be like the parks and wildlife, requiring lights on boats from sunset to sunrise, not dusk to dawn. Should these drivers be stopped for unsafe operation of a vehicle without lights during unsafe conditions?
Well, the law is that you're required to have headlights on at a certain time, and the time is 30 minutes after sunset and 30 minutes before sunrise. And certainly we've had a time change this last week, so mm-hmm. you'd have I don't know what we're looking at now as far as that. What time is it getting dark now? About 7:30? I would say, I normally used to check with our dispatch to find where sunset. You know, you can look at a paper and it says where sunset is and mm-hmm. sunrise is and all that. But there's another part of that. It says if visibility gets less than 1,000 feet. So, in other words, fog rolls in or whatever it may be, and your visibility is less than 1,000 feet, then you are required to have your headlights on at that time. So that's the basic with the headlight law that we have now.
Okay. All right. Hopefully that answered your question. If not, as always, you can ask us to expand on a certain part of it. But that the email's coming in, a mail, mail at kwhi.com, and also phone calls at 979-836-9937, 836-9937 today for Safety Talk. Corporal Jimmy Morgan in studio. And again, we thank you for being with us today because people love the show.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy doing it. You know, certainly if there are questions, it kind of lets me know what's out there, what's on everybody's mind. So when they call an email mm-hmm. like that, so it it gives me a clue what's going on. So I appreciate their phone calls. And now on this headlight thing, and even let's go taillights. Look, she's right. You know, the new technology out there is it automatic. You know, if you want them to, they automatic turn your stuff on. I actually like that. And I tell people, when in doubt, turn them on. There's no law that keeps you from, even during the daylight hours, to running your putting your lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you've just went and done is, if anything, you just made your vehicle more visible on the highway. And depending on the color of your vehicle, depending on the surface of the road, some vehicles, they blend in. You know, depending on the background, whatever. And, you know, you always ask, well, why did that car pull right out in front of them? You know, that may be one of the reasons why they didn't see her. So when you have your lights on and stuff, you just make yourself more visible. So certainly there's no law preventing you to have your lights on even during operation time. So, you know, and that's why you see more vehicles now with these what we call daytime running lights.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is allow people to your vehicle to be more visible on the highway. So when in doubt, I say turn them on.
Okay. Got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Good morning. Yes, I do. I agree with the headlights. It should be on all the time. I personally drive a dark gray colored car, and I have people pull out in front of me, so I didn't leave my headlights on all the time. But my question is, on the other end of it, these people with these bright, extra bright headlights that even on low beam blind you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kind of law or something where headlights can be too bright?
Well, yeah, yes, they definitely have to be DOT approved. I mean, it has to meet some federal motor carrier standards. And if they put aftermarket lights on there, you know, sometimes we see these blue kind of lights and we really have to examine them.
Right.
A lot of these aftermarket lights that are people that are trying to put on their vehicles, some of them, if not all of them, are probably going to be in violation of law.
The same way with some of the fog lights, they run them when it's not any fog, and they blind you.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I had a trooper about 2 weeks ago. He called me, and I couldn't really understand what he was talking about. There's a new trend out there, and, you know, every year there's something different going on, especially with our younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess worse. Around the headlight area in the grill, and then he had one on the top of the, say, the cab of the truck. Well, in Texas, you can only have four lights on at one time, okay? Now, we're going to treat each light bar as one light, even though they got a bunch of little lights in there. So basically, this guy had basically five lights on. So he was asking me, and I said, well, first of all, you've got an infraction of the law because you have more than four lights on at one time. Number two is that's an auxiliary lamp, and you got a height limitation of 42 inches on that auxiliary lamp that would, you know, on top of the cab, the hood of the, well, actually be the cab of the truck. So that would actually be a height violation of that law. So, again, people putting extra stuff on their vehicle and not researching what the law is, and then they wonder why they get stopped.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the phone call this morning. All right, there we go, 979-836-9937 or mail, mail at kwhi.com. 931, take a break here. and let you get your sip of coffee and kind of talk about next.
As you can tell, I'm running wide open this morning.
And you didn't bring a lid today, so we're going to keep an extra eye on the coffee today.
I even brought that picture for you on them lights.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, 931 KWHI. We want to take a break. We'll be back with more safety talk coming up right after this on KWHI.
ProServe Automotive, good work, fair price. ProServe Automotive, doing it right.
Good grief, Joni, what's up with your car?
I don't know, Robin. It's only 2 years old, but it doesn't have any power, and it's getting terrible gas mileage. With the way gas prices are, I can't afford that.
What kind of maintenance have you had done?
Maintenance? What are you talking about? This car's only 2 years old, and it hadn't given me any problems. Till now.
Getting little problems fixed before they turn into big problems and following the manufacturer's maintenance schedule can save you money and may even increase your gas mileage. Joni, you need to get your car to ProServe Automotive before you do some major damage to it. Better to spend a little money now than a whole lot later.
Don't neglect your vehicle. Take it to ProServe Automotive, 1703 South Market in Brenham, for maintenance and repairs, or call 830-8000.
Good work, fair price.
Burton Sausage invites you to attend the Texas Ranger Day in downtown Burton on Saturday, March 14th. You'll enjoy a gunslinging show, old-fashioned games, 1880s Ranger camp display, music, fajitas, auctions, and a whole lot more. And for some of the tastiest sausage in the area, Burton Sausage can be found at their market at 11700 Highway 290 West between Brenham and Burton, or at your local grocery. Burton Sausage is open Monday from 9 to 4 and Tuesday through Saturday from 9 to 6. Burton Sausage, made in a small town with big taste.
Osteopathic physicians are trained in the entire scope and practice of medicine, bringing a patient-centered, holistic, hands-on approach to diagnosing and treating illness and injury. Osteopathic physicians work in partnership with their patients to help them achieve a higher level of wellness by focusing on health education as well as injury and disease prevention. Dr. Robert Stark, Brenham's osteopathic family physician. 205 North Park Street in Brenham. Call 836-5353 to make your appointment.
Do you want more for your money? Well, you're in luck. Hey guys, Tina here with Select Furnishings, letting you know some of our income tax specials. Ashley 14-piece living room sets for only $11.99. You heard that right. You get 14 pieces for only $11.99. Get a 12-piece Ashley bedroom set, including a Serta mattress and box spring, for only $8.99. Wow, how could you go wrong with deals like that? And that's just to name a few. The whole store is on sale. Bedroom, dining room, living room sets, mattresses, bunk beds, you name it, it's all on sale. Ashley 14-piece living room sets for only $11.99. You heard that right. You get 14 pieces for only $11.99. Get a 12-piece Ashley bedroom set, including a Serta mattress and box spring, for only $8.99. We offer in-house, no credit check financing, along with 120-day same-as cash. Shop local and get more for your money at Select Furnishing, located in the Bluebonnet Shopping Center in Brenham. See you there.
It's coming, the best little cowboy gathering in LaGrange, Thursday through Sunday. It includes events like chuck wagon exhibits, a sanctioned barbecue cook-off, fiddle extravaganza, Sunday morning cowboy church, children's activities, and the cowgirl ball with Jake Hooker. Just check this lineup: Daryl McCall, Tony Booth, Curtis Potter, Jake and Tommy Hooker, Billy Mott and Carolyn Martin, Jody Nix, Jeff Woolsey, Justin Treview and Amber Digby, Jason Roberts, Hay Bale, Shoot Low Sheriff, and Rance Norton. Check out the best LittleCowboyGathering.org for lineup. Don't miss the Saturday concert featuring the John Wayne impersonator, Billy Mata with Carolyn Martin, the Jody Nix Fiddle Extravaganza, Lake Travis Fiddlers, K.R. Woods and Mickey Daniel. Saturday the fun continues with carriage rides, blacksmith demonstrators, Dan Keene Horse Clinic, and the 1870 Buffalo Soldiers. The best little cowboy gathering in LaGrange at the Fayette County Fairgrounds. For more information, visit BestLittleCowboyGathering.org. That's BestLittleCowboyGathering.org.
Welcome back. Safety Talk on KWHI, the second fastest hour on KWHI, right behind the country store, as Corporal Jimmy Morgan is here. And keeping us informed and answering your questions, anything and everything to do with roadways and beyond, right?
Absolutely.
Now, you know, the gentleman's talking about the headlights and all mm-hmm. that. It kind of reminded me while I was sitting here over break that, you know, in 1975, they made it where mandatory where motorcycle headlights were on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting that time of year where weather, spring break, weather's going to warm up. You'll start to see a lot of motorcycle riders and stuff. So it makes them more visible on the roadway mm-hmm. with that. And sometimes you see them kind of alternating type lamps on these motorcycles. So that's all about visibility is what that is. Where maybe you can pick them up in your blind spot or something, mm-hmm. or going down the road again. And they maybe when you first look, there was a telephone pole or a signage or a tree mm-hmm. or something in your way. And now when you look back the second time, now you pick them up or whatever.
Yeah,
it just makes
look
it more
look twice.
So we're certainly going to get in that time of year where there's going to be a lot of motorcycles, especially in y'all's area around here.
They like to ride.
They like to ride through here. So. Absolutely. What else is going on? Any more questions?
Let's see. No phone call. Let's check our emails real quick to see if anybody sent anything in. Nope. It's all up to you now.
All right. Okay. Let me get through my stuff here. And one of the things that was sent to me that gets talked about is due on these third brake lamps on the cab and stuff. What happened when I was visiting with that trooper this morning is, Federal Motor Carrier, everybody has to meet their requirements. Well, on a 80-inch vehicle or less, passenger vehicle type vehicle, truck, whatever, if they have that third brake light on the cab, it has to work. So even though if you may read in the transportation code where you, before 1960, you had to have one light, now after that, year, you're required to have two lights. And that was the part that was challenged. And usually these things get challenged in court because the officer has stopped a vehicle and made a case, and that case turned into a narcotics case or whatever it may be. It's more than just the traffic stop. Mm-hmm. So the probable cause for stop actually gets challenged in the court of law. And then the courts look at the law and they make their decision based on. So what they came up with is that if you have a third brake light, on a pickup truck or your car, then it's required to work. So if you got one out, go ahead and get it fixed. That's the best thing.
Yeah. And then if you have any lights on your vehicle that they got to work on the outside, or is that
well, like headlamps? You know, I told another thing. If you're not required to have your headlights on during the daytime, right? Mm-hmm. Unless visibility is less than 1,000 feet. However, if you do have them on. Right, one's on, one's off. You can get stopped because the other one's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because if it is on, it's required to work. So you can actually get stopped for a headlight during a daytime operation. Now that's different than a running light. So there's they have the smaller running lights. I actually have one on my SUV, but this is the law actually attains only to the headlight, not the running light.
Okay. So, all right. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
See, learn something new every day. I'm telling you, every time I hear.
Yeah. So, and that's going to be under 571-108 if you're looking to research into that. So, another thing these tail lamp covers and stuff that you see over tail lights, their tenant and all that, most of that stuff's in violation of law, too. And you have people actually take the whole assembly out of their taillight and put the clear lamps in and whatever. Well, they're required to have reflectors and stuff inside of that. And there's certain bulbs, the red LED bulbs have been DOT approved, but any other red type bulb, they have not been approved. So again, I just tell people, I said, look, I remember my son asked me when he got his truck, he said, hey, I want to put some new muffler system on the truck. And I said, no, we're not doing that. He goes, well, why not? I said, there's nothing wrong with the system you got now. I said, now, when that system wears out and you still got the truck, then we'll look at it. But then we're going to make sure you're in compliance with the law on your muffler system. So that's the deal. Do your research. If you want to change some things out, whatever, do your research before you go out and spend the money and put that stuff in, and then eventually get pulled over and realize you're in violation of law. The best thing to do is call an officer. Or do your research, and if you got a question, call me or call somebody that they know, they trust for their decision, and that's the best way to stay out of trouble.
Okay. Been another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. Have a question? Good morning. Safety talk to... Hello? All right. I guess they didn't want to be on today.
We are.
Or we had a bad connection. One of the two. Something happened. So,
bad
979-836-9937, our number here in studio, or send us an email, mail, M-A-I-L, at kwhi.com.
You know, they bad communication.
Bad communication.
Yeah. It's a result of a lot of things. You know, mm-hmm. It just didn't communicate right.
That's it.
So,
daily basis on that.
Let's see here. How can I start this out? Okay. So the caller, remember we had a caller, was concerned about officers going up down the road, felt like they were speeding, no mm-hmm. reason at all, whatever.
Yeah.
And I he wasn't the first one that has given that. I actually got that call about another week ago after that call or another radio station. And I always refer this. The best way I can answer that is that if you go to 546.001 in the transportation code, it basically starts there, and there it talks about permissible conduct. And it basically says here that an operating authorized emergency vehicle, the operator may park or stand in respect to another provision of this, in other words, stop in the roadway. Say you work an accident scene, you know, you want to protect the scene, you can stop, whatever, and protect that scene with your vehicle. You can proceed through a red light or stop signal or stop sign, slowing after for safe operation. And it also says here in paragraph 3, to exceed the maximum speed limit and accept as provided in ordinance adopted under section 545.365, as long as the operator does not endanger life or property. So, and basically what they're saying, there are certain things that an officer can do in an emergency unit or a police vehicle that the average motorist can't do and for certain situations. And there's just certain situations out there, like a minor accident. Certainly he may not want to run with lights and siren on a minor accident, but he may want to pick his speed up a little bit and try to get there as quick as he can. And, you know, certainly there's other reasons why law enforcement may or may not use their lights. So I would say this, in that if, you know, if you ever see operation of a police unit that you think the driving is not acceptable or whatever, if you just pay attention to what that agency is, whether it be a trooper or a sheriff's department or a police officer, certainly make a call to that agency and, They'll check it out and leave a number where they can call you back, and they'll be more than happy to get back with you and say, hey, what you observed that day was this, and give you some type of reasoning what that officer was doing. So there's nothing wrong in calling that in if you think the conduct was more than what's acceptable in your view. So
okay. I think we got a phone call here. Good morning. Y'all on Safety Talk today. You have a question for us.
Good morning. Yes, sir. I wanted to find out some information. I know years ago it had been included in the safety inspection for where the headlights had to hit, like a certain point, like 30 inches off the ground so far in front of the vehicle.
The headlights?
Yes, sir. And this was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I drive a smaller vehicle.
Right.
Driving head on, and I have another vehicle passing me.
Right.
It's a truck. They put a lift kit on, even though the manufacturer switched the headlights to be below the marker lights to prevent this.
Mm-hmm.
Then these people put these aftermarket lift kits on,
right.
And the lights are right back right in my eyes.
Right.
So is there anything on the book still in regards to where the headlights need
You know, if you remember back in the old school days, when you used to go get your inspection, they used to have this instrument that was on a rail, and it would gauge that distance that she's talking about, and they quit doing that. They're supposed to stay set to what they were when they were manufactured, the vehicles manufactured. And what happens, like she's saying, people put these lift kits up and whatever, and then, you know, they get behind cars and they blind people in the mirror and stuff. There is some limitation on that. I don't know what the standard far as sitting there, what that distance is. I'll do some research on that to see if we still have something. But I do know they used to check that, and they quit doing it when you get your inspection. But, you know, obviously you know, when people put these type of things, then it changes the lights, and I could see even with your dim lights, you would actually blind somebody because your beams are so high. Now, on these lift kits, there is a height limit, and I'm going to get to it. I think it's somewhere around 54 inches, if I remember right. There's a height kit that headlight can only be on that vehicle. So there is height requirements listed in the transportation code on how high headlight could be. So, and I think it's somewhere around 54 inches. And I'll double check that during break and pass that information on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, there we go. Thanks for the phone call this morning.
Yeah.
979-836-9937 or email us mail, mail at kwhi.com. All right, another email just came in here.
Okay.
For you. Question. Okay, well, never mind. We won't worry about that one. Funny, though. Let's see here. Do you need some time this morning to kind of...
No, what I was going to do, I was going to say, let's take a break, and then and I'll find that distance sound on that headlight, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Okay, we can do that.
All right.
All right, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with more Safety Talk coming up in just a moment here on KWHI 979-836-9937 or in emails mail, mail at kwhi.com.
This Monday night, it's the Brenham Sports Line. Sports talk with a local attitude. I'm the sports doc, Ed Popple. Join me Monday night at 5:35 for the Brenham Sports Line. An hour of sports talk with a local flair. We'll talk about the Brenham Cubs and Cubettes, Burton Panthers and Lady Panthers, and all the other area schools, as well as the Blinn Bucks and Lady Bucks, Longhorns, Aggies, whatever you want to talk about with a local emphasis. It's the Brenham Sports Line, Monday night, 5:35 on your voice for local sports, KWHI.
What do kids in public schools, private schools, and homeschools have in common? 4-H. You didn't know that, did you? Small town, big town, or way out of town. There's a 4-H program tailor-made for your family, no matter where you call home. It's not just about raising livestock. 4-H is about raising our future leaders through a wide variety of leadership programs and exciting activities. I want you to bring your kids. Get involved. Raise a leader. 4-H.
Hi, this is Colonel Aaron Vangelisti, commander of the Air Force Reserve's 433rd Airlift Wing at Joint Base San Antonio, Lackland Air Force Base, Texas. Military experience can add greatly to your life, as it has mine. The Air Force Reserve locations throughout the region offer positions with excellent training, including the exciting areas of intelligence and cyberspace. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212.
Sponsored by the Air Force Reserve, aired by the Texas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
All right, everything back in order here now. 10 minutes in front of 10 o'clock this morning. Craig Montana, joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan, the DPS in studio. Safety talk it is this morning, answering your questions today, whatever you may have. 979-836-9937 or send us an email, mail, mail at kwhi.com. And Corporal Morgan, again, thanks for taking time out your schedule and joining us here today, answering questions.
Yeah, you know, during the break, I was kind of looking for that headlight. We got a call on another registration inspection deal. You know, and it kind of also reminded me, you know, we're going to a one sticker in the state, mm-hmm. but we're still at a two-plate state. So don't get confused that we're actually, you know, that's kind of been a myth for a while that we we're just you only had to have one plate on your vehicle,
and that's
not the case. We're still going to be a two plate state, but with the one sticker on the windshield.
And you got those plates that be on the back bumper and the front bumper, right?
Yeah, the most forward part of the vehicle, most commonly known as the front bumper or the rear bumper. So,
don't throw it in your windshield.
Yeah, no windshield.
I can tell you from experience.
Oh, you can. Huh?
Yeah. Well, a long time ago.
Because a lot of times when you put it on your dash or whatever, depending what kind of dash you got and what's all going on up there, windshield wiper, a lot of times it's going to be obstructed or the officer just couldn't see it until, and that's where a lot of people put them. They it got knocked off for some reason. And people put them up there, and so I wrote a lot of warnings for that, and just tell them, hey, when you get time, go ahead and put it back to the front of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people always ask me, go, why do we have that two plate state? And I give some scenarios. That the best thing, it's meant for identify the vehicle, especially now, the toll roads and stuff we got now. But I always tell people white is the predominant color on the highway on vehicles and stuff. And certainly if somebody does something wrong and they put a bulletin out on two people in a vehicle and fitting this description and you're happen to be in the area and now law enforcement's pulling you over, and they're wasting their time pulling you over. And you certainly don't want to be having a felony stop done on you.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not fun.
You will not enjoy that at all.
Yeah, and and then they realize later that, we got the wrong guy here. Mm-hmm. So it really just helps if somebody got a partial license plate and if everybody's got a two plate, it helps law enforcement to identify that vehicle easier than having to turn around every time they see a vehicle that may fit that description.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Another email came in here today. Want to know if you've covered the new laws about requirements for brakes on trailers.
New laws.
It says, have you covered the new laws about requirement for brakes, etc. on trailers?
Well, they're going to have to be a little bit more specific on what type of trailer they're talking about. And as far as new law, we got a session going on right now, so we wouldn't have any new laws come in effect till most of them won't come in effect till September 1st of this year. So I don't know, is this federal motor carrier or are we talking about Texas law or whatever? Okay. Basically, our laws on trailers is that, first of all, again, kind of like headlights, they have to, if you get some exemption on farm trailers. If you have a farm trailer, you get daylight exemption as far as brake lights and all that. You see some of these hay trailers going on the road, this single round bale hays that you don't even see any lights. And that's the reason why you see that is because they had to get exemption on daytime lighting. But nighttime, they're required to have lights on. But during the daytime, if it's not a farm trailer, then you are required to have lights on the trailer, and they must work even during daytime operations. So I'm not aware of any kind of change either from Federal Motor Carrier or the Transportation Code, and I won't see a change, if any, until probably I'll know if some changes are fixing to come out somewhere probably about May or June, but most of them will not take effect about September.
Okay. So. All right. Well, there you go. And like I said, if there's a specific one you want him to talk about, let us know.
Absolutely.
And he'll go more in detail on it this morning. We got about a few minutes left in the show today.
Well,
things you want to talk about.
You know, there was some comments. I read an article not too long ago there about CDL driver license. Some operators losing their license and stuff. And I just think it's important to kind of go over that if you are a CDL holder. And when you have these medical cards that you're required to have now, make sure when you get that medical card, make sure you up it and make sure that you take the time and to give DPS. You're going to have to go back by and refile the form, which is make sure your status hadn't changed on your medical card. And it's a CDL-7 form, And they just want to know that your status hadn't changed. So make sure you file that form every time that you get a medical card that you take it by. I think it's $11 fee or something like that. But they'll scan that that form in. And again, say like if our, one of our CVE troopers, commercial vehicle enforcement officers, one of them guys stop, well, they'll be able to look on their computer and show that you've got a valid medical card on file. So they process all that. So if you get one or you're due for your you have a CDL, and make sure you update that medical card so that that don't lead. Because if not, what happens, they'll reduce that driver license from a CDL down to a regular driver license. So and I think that's what's happened on some of them. And realize that when you get notices in the mail, and we tell people this, that when you change address, you need to notify DPS within 30 days. And the reason is that if something takes effect on your license or our department's trying to get a hold of you, they're going to go with that last address they have on you. So if you don't change it, we're going to send you, you know, you may be moved down the road and not change your address. We're going to send it to the old address. So make sure you keep your license, your address current. So if we do have to send you something, that you get it, and it gives you the time to take care of that, because surcharges and these type of things that are going on with people's driver license, that your license can come invalid, and now you're driving down the road with invalid license, and the notification that you would have got, you didn't receive because you've moved it and changed your address. And that, and I see that quite a lot with people that have some things with their license. So, just make sure that you keep all that up to date. And I will catch back up with you, another couple of weeks?
Sounds good.
And I appreciate your listeners today. And everybody drive careful and enjoy your spring break.
There you go. Once again, if they have questions for you, they can contact you by?
You can call me at my office, 979-776-3147, or Jimmy Morgan at dps.texas.gov.
If you don't want to do the .. send it to me here, mail, M-A-I-L, at kwhi.com. I was forwarded him. Take it from there, and we've actually done it before. You've gotten emails from me, from listeners.
Absolutely.
So, don't be afraid. He will take care of you. And thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks again, Corporal Morgan.
All right, thank you.
It's been Safety Talk on KWHI. Thanks for joining us here today. Thanks to Corporal Morgan to be in the studio, and we'll do it all again another couple of weeks or so. He'll be back, maybe have a guest with him or something, but nonetheless, we will talk more safety, and your questions will be answered on Safety Talk on KWHI. It is coming up on 10 o'clock, ABC Local News on the way on KWHI in Brenham.
Shouldn't do. You can bet your boots I'm coming after you. If you want a race, then get on a racetrack. Or if you try to run away, I'm gonna bring you back. I'm here to keep all the speeder driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol. I'm the highway patrol. Highway patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'm just doing my job. Oh,